Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, today is that day we always get the questions from people that for some crazy reason they think that we're all about food and wine and experts on this stuff. What is the best dish you ever had? What is the best wine you ever tasted? What is your desert island wine? What is your what is the best thing? What is if when I go to Paris, what is the one thing I have to eat? When I go to Italy, where do I have to go? We wanted to do this program live today and take your calls and take your emails and hear from you as well. What is the best dish you've ever had? What is the best cooking you ever had? What is that one seminal thing that really changed your opinion of food or of wine and of spirit or just that this changed your outlook about those things? We wanted to deal in superlatives in a society that uses them way too often. We wanted to do it pretty honestly about stuff that we love today.
Excited to hear what people have to say.
So if you're trying to reach us, it's 410-662-8780. You can reach us toll-free, 866-661-9309. Or if you're one of those shy persons, we'd love to get your email, foremanwolf@wypr.org. That's Foreman with an E, Wolf with no E.
That's right.
At wypr.org. For those that misspell and get frustrated. Sorry about that. So you tell me, Cindy. Here I'm going to throw a curve at you. Big surprise.
Oh, good.
So what's the best dish that you've ever had that was not in France?
Oh, that's mean.
That's you know who I am.
I do. Recently on a trip to Italy, we're in Calabria and had the food of a very, very, I don't even know if the word village applies. I mean, it was a very tiny area. I don't think it's a town.
It's a gathering of buildings on the road up the hill from Chiro. I know
right,
where you're
a gathering of buildings. Right, exactly. And we had lunch there with a winemaker and, oh my goodness, I mean, the chef was a woman and she had obviously taught her children help her make her pasta because we had the wonderful experience of after having an amazing lunch and eating a tremendous amount of food and we were the only people there.
And drinking a little bit of wine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Watching you full of food and a little bit of wine, having a pasta lesson.
It was
pretty
really the treat of a lifetime to have her show us because she was after lunch. She immediately went back into prep.
And she only yelled at you a little bit.
Oh well, yeah, she was scary actually, and I'm a chef. she was formidable, quite frankly, and she was serious.
She knew what she was talking about.
She certainly did, and even her children were a little scary because they knew what they were doing too. Because obviously they'd been rolling out pasta for her probably since they were capable of doing it, which I would imagine was 4 or 5 years old.
The one boy who was maybe 13.
Oh my gosh,
was a whip.
He was unbelievable. Yeah. And what was great about it was learning the technique, which was rolling the pasta like on a little dowel rod, and then it was a whole flick and move, and I mean I took a video of Julian, one of our chefs, doing it, and I mean it's such a treat to look back on it because oh my goodness, what an experience. But she was like no, that's not right, and it was almost scary. But
yeah,
it was such a great opportunity.
It's a very simple
oh my gosh,
little...
that lunch with the peppers from that region, I mean I think we ate those peppers in absolutely every meal we had
for you
there.
Who once hated peppers, it was very cool to see you get excited about
Calabrian
chilies.
Bell peppers, that's what it is. But I've found that, even going to Spain and having the Padrón pepper, I think, that was probably one of the first times that I literally was absolutely happy, astonished, amazed at how delicious and wonderful a roasted pepper can be. And of course, when you eat the Padrones in Spain, it's quite a bit of Russian roulette. I mean, you just never know if you're going to get the really, really spicy one. You have a plate with 10 chilies on, and one of them is going to blow your head off. So it's just what?
Once in a while, half of them are going to blow your head off.
Or half, yeah, right? Yeah. You're right. It's not necessarily just
one. I had a farmer
one.
Grow them for us here. And
Those were really spicy. Those were across
and
the board.
You left them out there a little too long.
Yeah, I don't think
there
was a whole lot of Russian
roulette.
They
got a little too much sun, a little too fast.
Yeah, they were just hot.
Yeah, it was more blitzkrieg than roulette.
Oh, my
roulette.
God, but the
yeah.
flavor is so good. Yeah, but to have the peppers in Calabria.
What was the dish? What was the dish? What was the thing?
Oh, the dish was really was the pasta that she made with the tomato sauce, which was just absolutely brilliant. But really, the other thing that
but
was
it wasn't
such a
just
surprise.
Pasta with tomato sauce. It, Because the pasta was that. It was their flour and water and salt.
Oh, of course. It's everything. Yeah, everything evolved.
That's it.
Made it amazing.
That shape, it's funny that...
Oh, it holds,
almost
it clings.
Almost comically.
Yeah.
It's like a, you know, almost like a long ribbon formed around that dowel that cups the sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is. It just holds the sauce beautifully.
Macaroni is the name that...
Oh, that's right.
I'm
yeah.
like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I was
like,
surprised
no,
when she said that.
Macaroni, that's what they call it.
Macaroni,
In that one particular coastal area of Calabria,
oh,
they call
gosh,
it that.
Oh, my gosh, that was so good. Well, and then the beans that were, you know, it looked like big, wide green beans and some other vegetables just cooked together just... as you, I think you said earlier, with pork and, you know, just really cooked slowly. Oh my goodness. I mean, they were kind of army green, you know, which is obviously never what we're after with our vegetables, but oh my gosh, it was good.
It was about as down-home Italian a dish as you're going to
get.
Oh
yeah. And also we had all the different meats.
Green beans stewed in pork fat with Calabrian chilies.
Yeah. That the whole, and we had a plate of goodness there. I mean, with that first, the antipasta course was, I mean, could have been easily a meal, not an antipasta.
But
so
that's
it
really,
was amazing.
That's the best dish you've had outside of France.
No.
As one that you're most immediately emoting about.
It is, because it's most recent in my memory.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, we love to hear from callers. I mean, if there's a dish that, you know, was a surprise, or a particular meal that was a surprise, something that you had that you wanted to talk about, or maybe it's a restaurant from 25 years ago that used to do a dish that you loved, that you missed the connection to, you can reach us and tell us your stories. 410-662-8780 or toll
free. Yeah, please call in. I'm anxious to hear what people have to say.
866-661-9309. We've had a listener who used to call us on Dan Roderick's show once in a while and has called us when we've been live on our own program a couple of different times. James,
who
I hope has wintered well, and I'm curious what his favorite dish is that he ever had.
Yeah, I would love to hear that too. I think one of the other times we were in Spain, we had a dish called fabada, and I came back and immediately tried to duplicate that dish. It is another bean dish that has a little bit of tomato product and, you know, great oil and, you know, probably some smoked pork product. But oh my goodness, I mean, just to have those fantastic beans, the really large.
And sort of look like giant white limas.
Right, exactly. Oh my goodness. I mean, just, you know, we had eaten at a restaurant, again, in a very small town, and the chef, his son was taking over the kitchen. And, you know, we sat in the taste.
This place had gone all modern.
My gosh. And
what,
but
we have 20
goodness.
Dishes there?
Yeah, we did. We had, and this was lunch, by the way. And we were with not a winemaker, but it was a wine importer, I believe, that we had lunch with there, and many of the dishes were molecular cooking or modern cooking, and the
this
things that
not,
I liked the most
God.
Were the traditional dishes that he made that were left over from his father, and what was great was to see the two of them working together.
There's beans and broth.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, that's what
so good.
It, just fantastic broth, fantastic beans, and thoughtfully, you know, thoughtfully, carefully cooked. It is a restaurant in Asturias.
Asturias, right? Yeah. Oh my goodness! Please go there. Really, really. And what was cool about that, we got...
It's one of the only dishes without apples in it in the entire restaurant. That's the story. It's this big, famous, you know...
Okay, right.
Big, famous thing is their cider.
Yeah, but we had a couple of things that were traditional. We have a caller.
So let's talk to Thomas in Ellicott City.
Hi, Thomas.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are
Good,
you?
How are you?
Doing great. So we're talking about best meals.
Yes.
Best meal, best dish.
Ooh,
what do you think?
I've been to the Grove Park in North Carolina. What a great place.
The Grove Park was amazing. The fireplaces are just absolutely...
Aren't they amazing? It's like they put a tree in. They're so huge, you
they
can
put
a tree
in
there. Exactly. I love the Grove Park. That's the best room.
So my wife and I, we honeymooned there. I'm in Asheville.
That's
we,
nice.
Didn't, we didn't have the money to stay at the Grove Park, but we rented a cabin.
How fun.
And we had a meal there. My brother had given me a couple $100 at the time. I was so poor, he actually loaned me the money. But we had meal there, and we opened with a tureen of, it was lobster pumpkin bisque, followed with a grilled antelope with vegetables.
Oh.
And then they did absolutely beautiful, it was a dessert that they called the Nantucket Honeymoon, and it was a raspberry compote with like a cream cheese base or something like that. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, you, well, that, what a great memory for you and your wife. That's fantastic.
Do you think it tasted better or worse because it was your brother's money?
Oh my gosh.
Well, I
know my brother I love, but he's so tight with his wallet. There's no way it wouldn't taste better if it was his money.
I come from a very generous family. It was amazing. And I've never been able to find a recipe to make the lobster pumpkin bisque as good. It was absolutely amazing how they did it.
Yeah, I've never heard of the two together, quite frankly.
I think you've set a challenge. Thank you very much, Thomas.
Absolutely. Thank you, Thomas.
I think you set a challenge for Cindy for the autumn.
Lobster pumpkin soup.
Because we get great lobsters, we get great pumpkins.
Oh, yeah,
so.
That would be fun. Good
well,
to make.
That's,
all right. That's nice.
That's a great story.
Oh, I love the Grove Park. Wow, what a beautiful place. And they have an amazing spa there. And the view is so beautiful. You can see the mountains from the back of the hotel.
That's one of the basic questions that I have is the scenario, the scene where you're dining.
Oh, how impactful that is. Indeed.
Your companion. I mean, it's one of those things for a certain, you know, wine connoisseurs that will always appeal to me. Like they want to drink this thing that's, well, this is 99 points, or this is 100 points, or like, well, what do points taste like exactly? Mm-hmm. I would like someone to explain to me what points taste like.
I think I
know how to objectively evaluate wine, but I mean, it's a little bit like objectively evaluating music. Once you get past a certain level of ability, it's really a question of style and placement and situation, and what do you want to dance to? Mm-hmm. You know, that's mm-hmm. kind of.
Well, the company certainly. You know, and the environment certainly affects the way you feel. I mean, it could be the best food in the world, but if we were sitting in here in this little room eating it, it would feel very different from in a beautiful place or
I don't
a
know exactly what the best
or,
meal would be ever in this particular
in this
little
room. I don't know. So what's your favorite meal, Tony? Or what's the best dish that you've had?
No parameters?
No parameters. I'm not gonna put
you're
any
very,
parameters
you're
on
very
you.
Very generous that
yeah.
way.
Mm-hmm. I am.
Gosh, that's a very, very long list. I mean,
oh, there's so many.
There's so many things, and it always does kind of come down to, well, tell me what day of the year, or what is the mood, or like, is it like, I mean, I've been dreaming for the last month of the first time I get to make pasta for like family and friends mm-hmm. on the back porch is like an easy, you know, just put a bunch of antipasti on the table. And get wine open and that first spring night that's not too cool,
mm-hmm.
and exactly
yeah,
what
we all look
exactly
forward to
what
that
do you want to make
this time of the year, for sure.
And of course it's you know that but that anticipation is half of the enjoyment of it, you know. I think that's the thing. So think about it. Give us your calls 410-662-8780 or toll free 866-661-9309, and we'll be back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine.